Good evening and welcome to Ladies Might Podcast. And whether it's Ladies Might In or Ladies Might Out, this is what we're talking about. Hey ladies, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I am so excited for this week's episode. And to be in our second season, I didn't know how long we would be recording, but I keep finding interesting people to talk to, and they're all in my phone. So, ladies, let me tell you, after recording with the last guest, Miss Shamika Anderson, it got me to thinking a lot about how a lot of times we don't move forward with decisions because of the script we hear of other people's voices in our head. So we might not jump out and take on a business opportunity because we're supposed to be safe and have that 9-to-5 job, or we might not choose to do something that we believe by faith that God or whoever your higher power is telling you to do. And so we can't let other people's fears determine what we do in our lives. And so this is too preachy at the beginning, but I do want to remind you all too that our first Ladies Night Out will be on February 17th, 2018 in Indianapolis. I plan to do more throughout the country this year, but this will be our first event and we're planning to see the Black Panther. So join us with some phenomenal ladies on February 17th, especially if you do not have a Valentine's Day date. But for tonight's episode, I'd like to introduce you to Miss Candace Jackson. Hey, girl.
Hey, world.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Good, good, good. So, funny thing is that I met Candace through an Instagram hashtag.
That's right. That is right.
So hashtag appropriately.
Right.
But my best friend was hosting an event to empower women, and I was one of the co-hosts. And I knew I needed some makeup applied to my face because y'all know I don't do makeup. And I did a hashtag search and found Candace and was not disappointed.
Aw, thank you.
No problem. In fact, you all have heard about VK Press, my publishing company, and every photo on my website, if it's professional, then the makeup was done by Miss Candace Jackson of the Limitless Look. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's been a good experience we had with your branding and
yes,
bonding together.
It's yes, ma'am. In fact, I talked about this podcast before I even started it.
Yeah,
in
right
your
here.
In your studio at 5 a.m. for that shit.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about it, and you made it happen.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's what's up. Congrats to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So tell us more about yourself.
So I'm from Indianapolis. I'm a makeup artist. I am an esthetician. I also work with project management a little bit. So I'm working with a grant. That's about it. I mean, I'm a simple girl. I like music. I like partying, you know, but I'm just a little bit slow right now because I got a little friend on the way.
Oh.
I'm expecting my first baby, so.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I was excited when you said that Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll see when he comes, but we might be out. I mean, I might be out. We'll see.
We'll see if our friends have a copy that brings to your house.
But
oh my gosh. So we'll talk about expecting as well as more about your business and a few. Could you tell us about your favorite Ladies Night In or Ladies Night Out?
I would have to say, just a particular experience that I've had. I would have to say, here recently, after my baby shower, I met up with some of my friends from college, and some came in from D.C., some from Fort Wayne, and we just went out. And although I could not drink, I thoroughly enjoyed watching them enjoy themselves. So it was just like college all over again. And some of them I hadn't seen, honestly, in 10 years. We went to Bakersfield and we bar hopped a little bit. So just having that camaraderie and picking up where you left off, no matter how long it was that you've spoken, that's just there's no price you can put on it. So I just love that.
That's awesome. What college did you go to?
I went to Ball State.
Okay.
UNC.
What did you study there?
studied telecommunications, and then I also continued and got a Master of Science in Information and Communication Sciences. So kind of IT, kind of wanted to do journalism and news, and then life took a different turn, and
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize how similar we were, because I have the performing arts background from my undergrad, and, you know, telecom and all of that is a part of it, but then, like, I currently work, I'm not in IT, but I work in education advising IT students, so.
I mean, I kind of do, too. So, with what I was saying with project management is I'm working with some students who are minorities in STEM programs, so I'm kind of directing them towards their career path. So, not really in IT, but kind of in education, so I'm kind of really similar.
Oh, my gosh. Learn new things every day. Awesome. So, are you ready for a game?
Yeah, I love games.
So. Okay. So, I have to take some of the questions out because they relate to some other questions I have for you.
Okay.
But this is like the ladies' night game, so you pick the descriptor that best fits you.
Okay.
All right. So, invest in the best or save for a rainy day.
Invest in the best.
Boom.
I'm going to need to work on that save for a rainy day, but I'm one of those, like, if the opportunity is here and you have that opportunity available or the finances available or the time to invest, I feel like you better take that opportunity because it may never come again.
You're right.
So I feel like that's valuable. I mean, it is important to save. I mean, in my maturation of life, when I get a little bit older, I will think about that, but yeah, invest in the best.
But when you think about, like, the service you offer, I will, like, spend my last dollar to have a good makeup artist versus not.
Yeah, people don't have that mindset, but I'm glad you appreciate it. It is an investment, and you have to think about it. Yeah, okay, maybe it might be $20 more or $10 more than so-and-so, but it is about the experience. It's about the fact, you know, you want your skin to be taken care of. I mean, you want somebody who's knowledgeable, so you're right.
In fact, the photo that I use for Ladies Night Podcast, you did that makeup too.
Oh, yeah. I love that picture. Yes. I couldn't wait to share it. I'm like, yes. Client selfie.
I'm just saying. Like a phone, my phone photography became real photography.
See?
Didn't even have to do a filter or anything.
That makes me feel good.
Yes, yes. Okay, so this is a for real ladies question.
Okay.
So paint the big toe for the peekaboo shoe or full pedicure every time.
Girl, time. It's not always on our side. We might just have to work with that big toe. That big toe. I mean, like, it would sound great for a full pedicure, but, you know, time and money and resources, sometimes you just got to make it work and make it do what it do.
Girl, so. As a kid, I used to be like, oh, I have to paint my toes all the time, until one of my good girlfriends, one of my line sisters, in fact, she said that was the way she got by, or her mom got by. She just paint the toes that are shown and then be gone. I started to do that.
I like that. I might say I'm going to have to remind myself this summer.
Like, look, no gladiator shoes for me, huh? And then lastly, of this part of the game, slippers or stilettos.
Well, today,
I'm going to say
slippers, and that's only because I'm expecting, but I love stilettos, and I'm a tall woman, and
oh my gosh, ladies, surprised. Did y'all hear that? She is like the first guest to say stilettos on air.
I would.
Oh my
gosh. Every day if I could, you know. I mean, I just love the power that you feel when you're in your pumps or your stilettos and just how it completes a look.
So would you wear them every day?
I would wear them every day. If I didn't live in Indiana and, you know, you didn't have this ice out here and it wasn't cold, I would rock them.
Oh, my gosh. And then how tall are you?
I'm 6'1", so, yeah, come from a tall woman, I'm sure that's a shocker. But I love being tall. If I could be tall, I would be taller if I could.
Really? What's your ideal height?
I wanted to be 6'3 for the longest because I was like, I'm going to be a pro NBA player, a WNBA player, and I'm going to be a model, and that's going to be, yeah. I'm good where I am. I'm okay that I'm not growing, but, you know, when I grow, I'm wearing those stilettos.
Okay. So I tried to be a model multiple times throughout my life, but I was too short. I'm 5. Okay, technically, on paper, I'm 5'6¾". Mm-hmm. But the minimum was always 5'9".
Right.
Until Eva.
Right, and she broke a lot of barriers. Well, you know, there's always print.
There is. And I think I can do print. I can rock print.
For sure. I think so, too.
Awesome. All right, so for this next game, I made it especially for you.
Okay.
So this is a Candace Jackson exclusive game.
Exclusive.
Yes, but it's called What's in Your Beat Box.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about the products that you subscribe to as a makeup artist and any recommendations.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just going to throw out the things that I know of. You feel free to add whatever. Okay. But whether it's personal or professional, what kinds of mascara would be in your beat box?
Okay, so I'll be completely honest to say that my clients get more luxurious treatment in products than I do. So for my clients, I love Dior, all Dior mascaras. So there's one, this Ecstasy. I love all Dior mascara, period, for my clients. Now for myself, I mean, that Maybelline, the one that's in the pink and green bag, it's like maybe $4 or $5. I mean, it works just as well, honestly. Right. It's really about the comb and the application. But yeah. Either one.
So, this wasn't a part of it, but do you see a lot more people get faux lashes?
Yes, it's very popular now, especially the Minx in Indianapolis. It's really popular. So, I mean, people do mascara with those when they get older, and I think those are cool. You just have to make sure you're taking care of your eye and making sure it's clean and doing things right. I personally prefer the strips. If I'm going to do lashes, I just pull them on, put them on when I'm ready, pull them off when I'm not.
That's cool. That's cool. How about lip color?
Lip color.
Mm-hmm. What's in your box or even like a more popular option your clients go for?
I love MAC ever since it's become popular with like MAC's Ruby Woo. But the brand that I like to use is Kat Von D. It's like a liquid matte, so you put it on and it's like perfect. It's really easy because I like ombre, so I'll take like a darker color and then put the lighter shade in the middle and then just blend them together before it dries, and it dries and it stays 24 hours. Well, not 24 hours, but that's what they advertise. And it's awesome. So I would say Kat Von D.
Okay, skincare, especially with the esthetician. I can't even say the word right.
You said it right. Oh. You got it.
So what products do you recommend for skincare?
So depending on your skin type, something that I've been using, because my skin has been very sensitive lately, is the rose hips oil. And it's sold by it's sold all over the place, but the one that I use is from Belnam Natural, which is a local natural brand here. And it just drops, and you can use it as your makeup remover, you can use it as your moisturizer. It helps with dark spots and blemishes. It's a really good all around. I've been using it on my belly for my stretch marks. So it's awesome. So I would recommend that all across the board, regardless of your skin type.
Have you tried Fenty? Because I want to try it.
I haven't yet. Well, on my hand in the store, but they didn't have my shade.
Oh.
But I've been seeing, I worked with another artist who had her full collection, and I loved it. So I just played around in it. But I can't say that I've invested just yet. But I like it. I love Rihanna, so I'm a big supporter.
You know, honestly, I don't listen to her music as much, but I love her her persona.
Mm-hmm.
Her public persona is pretty dope.
Yeah, I love her.
Okay, so this is where I really get blurry for myself. So must have, like, brushes or other tools that you'd recommend.
So the brands, I know people get really wrapped up into those. Quality, we were talking about investing or saving. Quality is important for yourself for a brush, but I mean, the e.l.f. brushes work just as well. It's just a matter of what type of brush. I think every woman should have a blending eyeshadow brush, because that can take your look major places that you may not have been able to with just like the applicator that comes with the eyeshadow. So definitely a blending brush. I think MAC is 217 if you're using the MAC brand. It's just fluffy, it's soft, it's natural hair. It blends right in your crease. You can blend it for a soft day shadow. Everybody should have that, I think.
Now I know what that looks like, but producing that look,
right.
I'll be back over here. So, and then what's your favorite new product? It could be anything, skincare, lip colors, mascaras, liners.
Let me see, something new. I'm really big into this glitter phase that everyone has going on. I've been seeing, there's a makeup artist, Pat, who has these lip glitters. I mean, personally, I did my own version where I just took like duo eyelash glue and applied the glitter, and it worked, you know, it looks good. So I really like that. I think it's fun, especially coming up on like holiday season, or if you're Valentine, or you're just trying to look fancy and you have an evening event. It looks really cute.
That's cool. This isn't a part of the game anymore, but what has been your favorite look to create?
I love classic, like Hollywood glam, mm-hmm. because it's timeless. And when people look back at their photo, maybe next year, maybe 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, they could say, okay, I could still do this look. So mm-hmm. I love timeless looks. I mean, trends are fun, but that classic old Hollywood, the red lip, smoky eye even, mm-hmm. those aren't going anywhere.
Me too. A favorite of mine as well. Okay, so tonight I wanted to talk about, I guess like the last few episodes, I'm kind of been talking about shade and stuff lately.
I mean, hey, it's a real thing.
Oh, yes. And so I think, especially with you being pregnant and just, you know, as we grow into becoming more of who we are, there's people who give unsolicited advice.
Yes.
And so it's like, thanks, but no thanks.
Right. Exactly. Story of my life.
So I wanted to first talk about this in the light of womanhood. So as a little girl, Candace thought that being a woman meant what?
I'm not sure I would have been able to vocalize it in this way, but confidence. So I grew up around a lot of women in my family who were independent, who were single mothers, who were beautiful, who always wore different hairstyles and makeup and were trendy. But what the overall theme from all of them was confidence. And I never questioned that in any of them. So I thought, you know, when I get older, I can't wait to be like them in that way. And I like I said, at that age, I wouldn't have said confidence. But that's what it is now that I think about it.
Yeah. When I think of what I thought being a woman was, it was probably like independence. Mm-hmm. Because that's the message my mom, my aunts, my grandmother always stressed, like, thou shalt have your own.
That's right. That's right.
No matter what, have your own. Mm-hmm. But then, considering what you thought of womanhood as a kid, who in particular embodies what that meant for you at that time?
At that time, again, it was the women in my family, because that's who I was around all the time. I was with my grandmother. All the time I was with my mother, who she wasn't extremely proud of it, but she was a younger mother, so she was figuring it out as she went. But that's one thing I never questioned from her, was her independence and her confidence. And it kind of rubbed off on me. I felt confident in school to go and try out for cheerleading, even though they were like, oh, you should be on the basketball team. I mean, and I didn't make it, so I did stick to the basketball. But I felt that that rubbed off on me, and it's just something that was instilled in me.
It sounds like it's still with you.
Mm-hmm. It is. So first thing, if I have a new idea, I'll call my mom. What do you think? Well, you know, go ahead. Try it out. Okay. And that's what I do.
That's cool. That's
if it fails, it fails. But at least I knew.
Yeah. So if you think about one of those lessons in particular they taught you, especially like the ones that are still with you, who taught you like one of the greatest lessons? And then how has it impacted your life?
Okay, that's a great question. I will say, again, my mother, my mother's like my best friend, so I probably will hint at her a lot. But just so how we were talking about the transition from career, how I went to Ball State and studied IT, I was involved in a serious car accident that kind of reframed my life. So I didn't get into IT. I went for something that I loved and was passionate about, which was makeup. And the biggest lesson I learned from that was patience, because you can't come into something and have an empire built for you. That was starting from scratch.
Wow.
So it didn't matter how smart you are or how many skills you have, you still need to practice. You still need to pay your dues. So I worked in the mall, retail, or which some people turned up their nose and whatever. And I was embarrassed at a time because I'm like, oh, I didn't go to school to do this. But patience is something that I'm still learning, and my mother has always helped me reinforce. So I would definitely say that lesson. And it's so important that you learn it as you go, too, mm-hmm. because you can't rush into things. You can't snap your finger. I know we're in a microwave society where we
right.
want our Hot Pocket right now, but sometimes you got to bake it from scratch.
Yeah. You just said so many gems there, like just like paying your dues and mm-hmm. whatever that looks like. So when I think about, like, even this podcast, I borrowed equipment the first several episodes uh-huh. and still am borrowing equipment. Paying dues, huh?
But you're in your second season, though. Like,
yes.
I mean, because you've been putting in work. So you put in the work, and the universe, you know, everybody's talking about the universe, God.
Yes.
God and the universe or whoever you submit to reinforces that for you and just pays it forward to you.
And yeah, just to hear the remarkable women I'm learning about and finding out things about life, and I don't know, it just has felt like a rich experience. There's so much that's come up from the show. So then, what was probably the hardest lesson to learn, like the hardest pill to swallow, about womanhood, or something that you were not ready to hear yet as little Candace, but you know, you learned the lesson the hard way as an adult?
I would have to say when I got to college, I mean, I always was a really active type student and was involved in a lot of organizations and things, but when I got to college, I had my life planned together. I'm telling you, I was going to meet my boyfriend my freshman year, and we were going to get engaged, and I was going to be married. And I had this whole mindset, and none of those things happened for me. And what I learned was, it's not a comparison, because I would be like, well, why is he like, why does that boy like this girl? I mean, I'm pretty. I mean, I'm smart. I mean, I do whatever. And I had to learn that it's a progression, and timing is everything. And some things that you think are for you are not for you.
Ooh, so you just come on, let's go back to that one.
Right.
Some things that are, you think are for you are not for you.
They're not. And a good thing that I had was I had an older cousin who's like a brother, and he went to the same college as me, and I'd be like, what about your friend though? Like, and he'd be like, no. I'm like, you're just, and you know what? I never told him, and I hope hopefully he'll listen. I don't know if he'll listen to
me. But I have guys that listen.
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell him. I gave him a special shout out. But he was right every time. So you just have to wait your turn, and you have to wait until things are ready for you.
That is so true. I remember I dated a friend's brother, and they told me before we made it official, like, do not date him at all. And that was probably one of my first heartbreaks. And, yep. So we don't talk at all right now. You're right. We gotta sometimes learn things the hard way.
Yeah. I mean, and I learned the hard way too. Went through a lot of heartbreak and tried to force things that weren't natural. And yeah, at a certain point, you just learn. Okay, you just gotta let it flow.
That's true. We can let this conversation flow, but I kind of want to step back because I don't want to let us rush past something you mentioned earlier. So you said you had a car accident that changed how you your life in general. Yes. So do you mind going into that more?
No, I don't mind at all. So with the car accident, I was hit by a semi truck, to make it a short version, because when I tell stories, I start telling you what the sky looked like that day and all that.
I mean,
that.
maybe we need the picture.
So what I will say, it was Good Friday, and I was coming home from Ball State while I was studying for my master's, coming home to be with my family for Easter. And a semi truck hit me, didn't see me, tried to straighten up their wheel, and I got hit by the actual trailer. My car flipped about 5 times, and I was ejected. The only thing that was securing me was a seatbelt, because I did wear a seatbelt, but with all the turning, the seatbelt was holding my ankle. So I was headfirst out of the back window, and I went through a lot of head trauma. You know, my family all came down from Indianapolis, and I had to shave my hair, you know, get staples, and went through all these migraines and all kinds of pain, and had to learn how to walk, you know, balance therapy. Went through all kinds of things, and went through some appearance changes, gaining weight and scars. But it was such a blessing to walk away from that and be able to walk away from that.
Yeah.
You know, and I told my sister, because right now she's going through breast cancer, and I was telling her that sometimes the roughest times of your life are when you get to move forward to the greatest things of your life. Like, if I never had that happen, I'm not sure I would be who I am. Or I'm not sure I would be comfortable trying to be a makeup artist. Or I'm not sure I would be okay with just, you know, cutting my hair or changing my look or, you know, going
through
those
things. Girl, she got me over here boo-hooing.
Well, usually it's me these days.
So I'm my gosh.
No. But no, honestly, it's real.
That is.
God puts you or allows things to happen so that a greater blessing can come. So
Y'all about to run around this studio. I tell you that much.
But I'm so serious about that.
See, that's why I needed to go back to that, because I'm sure if I felt that, some of y'all probably needed to hear that at this point in life. And so just thank you for being open about that.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for coming back to that.
And I thank God that you're here with us.
Yeah, me too. And I'm just grateful.
Yes, yes. Oh, this is a miracle. Baby, miracle woman. Yeah. So speaking of pregnancy.
Yeah.
Girl, so I have gotten to know you before.
Yes.
You got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go into the bedroom. I'm just kidding. But... something that is out there in the world that I was reminded of in preparing for this interview was that there's this little video out there that has about 27,000 views just on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And it's from your gender reveal. Yes. Can you tell me more about, like, the plan behind the gender reveal and then just... maybe your feelings after finding out that it's been reposted and put out there on a larger platform?
Oh, my gosh. So, definitely. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know that I knew it was going to go viral.
I don't think you did.
What I will say is it was everything I wanted it to be. We are expecting a baby, of course, and I'm a Delta, and my boyfriend's a Q. And so that's kind of what unifies us a lot. A lot of our conversations, a lot of things we relate to. So I was like, oh, we're going to do a gender reveal and it's going to be different and we're going to do whatever theme. His reaction is what made it go viral. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, if it was a girl, I wouldn't have been, like, I would have been hyped, but I'm not sure I would have been able to set it out. So the fact, like, people were hitting me up like, oh my gosh, you guys are on the Shade Room. I'm like, the Shade? What? Like, we're on the Shade Room. It was all kinds of things. It was a beautiful experience. And it was confirmation for me that this baby is somebody special. And that he's going to be just a beam of light. So I was just really excited. And I'm still excited. I still see people resharing it on Instagram. Yes. Like, it's crazy.
Like, literally, the hour before now, this recording, I went back to your profile and saw that, yeah, it's about 27,000. Mm-hmm. And by the time the listeners of Ladies Night podcast hear this episode, it'll probably be well above that.
Yeah, and you know what? Even on the Shade Room, it's like 2 million. Like, it was work. I was like, it's more than Rick Ross. We made it.
No,
I was
hey.
No, but it was so cool. And I'm so grateful that people thought it was cool, too. Because I'm excited. Yes. I'm glad the world was excited to see it.
So what happened for those who... because I'll try to repost the video. But then, so you come there. And who knew the gender?
Only my mom and my sister.
And they were the ones who planted whatever that was. So what happened?
So we went into... so we had a room with a group of friends. And we had a box, a gender reveal box, and inside was going to reveal the shade of, or the color of what gender, except we didn't do blue and pink for the traditional thing. We did red if it was to be a girl, because she would be a diva, and purple if it were to be a boy, because he would be a cute, or a dog. So we did dog or diva was the theme.
Oh.
So, yeah, so we sat behind, and when we did the countdown, so the thing was, the DJ was like, so if it's a diva, he's going to play, if it's a girl, he's going to play Diva by Beyonce. And if it's a boy, he's going to play the Atomic Dog. By So I just knew, my mom and sister had me fooled. I just knew it was a girl. So I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? I wanted my sorors by me so we can do a little stroll.
Yes.
And when we opened the box and saw those purple balloons, and JR, which is my boyfriend, he just got up and got hype and started sending out hops. And the balloons came up, and then they had little gold and purple.
I love seeing that. When I saw those booties, I was like, oh my God.
It was so much fun. It was beautiful. And I definitely didn't expect it to, because I definitely thought it was a girl. So I was like, okay. But yeah, I was surprised. Everybody was surprised.
Girl, I'm AK, but I probably wouldn't try to be that. I'm not that creative, first of all. That's awesome, though. I'm so happy for you. I can say I know a celebrity, honey.
Yeah, I don't know if that, you know, if the checks start rolling in, then I'll accept that.
But I'm just saying, it's coming, babe. It's coming. So, but even along with the good that comes with pregnancy and gender reveals and the excitement of baby showers and all of that, and even at baby showers, sometimes there's this little box that people say their pieces of wisdom for being a new mommy. But I'm sure you've heard a lot.
I have.
Like, even from the moment you started going public with your family. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the welcomed and unwarranted words of advice you've received since announcing your pregnancy?
Oh, well, you know what? I'll ask. I'm a person who, I'm curious, so mm-hmm. I want to know. So I'll ask you what I want to know. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the youngest women in my family, I think, and I'm the only one without children, so I get a lot of unsolicited. the most that was warranted, like the advice that I appreciate the most is the realistic things, like, okay, so it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. So I've got a lot of breastfeeding advice. I've gotten a lot of planning advice on, like, how to maneuver and, you know, get your rest when the baby sleeps and things like that. That's cool. The stuff I don't want to know is your horror stories. Like, I might have my own, but I don't need to think about that right now. I need good, positive energy. I don't need to know. I went to a dinner, and there was a lady who shared her birthing experience that wasn't pleasant, where she had the baby breech, but it was natural and painful. And you know, I'm sorry that happened to you, honey, but I don't want it to happen to me. I won't think about it. No. So, yeah, I'm one of those people, too, that tunes out negativity. So even though that's a realistic option, and it could happen, I mean, we're going to pray that it doesn't. Talk to the doctor today. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
So I don't want to think about, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it.
Right, you know? Right. Something I know just from being the aunt of a expectant mother, or, you know, like the sister or whatever, of mm-hmm. expecting to be an aunt or whatever, was that everybody wants to touch your stomach.
Oh, yeah.
What was the weirdest case of that?
You know what's really weird? I think people just think I'm fat right now. Like, they don't know I'm pregnant. I kind of want people to touch my tummy, and
girl,
I'm almost done with this process, and only people do it are, like, close friends. They're like, oh, look. And I'm like, oh. I mean, I'm glad randoms don't come up to me. Let me not say that.
I'm going to say, if they only saw... Okay, so one of my few encounters with photos of you was, like, your body. Like, yeah. Like this... I can't describe the picture, but it's like a cat suit, y'all. And so if you saw her in that picture and then see her expecting...
It's different. Yeah. It's definitely different. So, no, honestly, people don't even say. Like, I was in CVS the other day, and the lady in front of me was expecting, too, and the cashier was like, so how much longer do you have? She asked that lady, and they're all engaging. I'm like, oh, here's my turn. So I come up, she's like, okay, well, you know, did you have your CVS card? And that was it. I was like, but I'm pregnant, too.
I want a small talk.
I want to tell you what I'm doing.
Wow, so... Okay, so I'm sure it's not all roses, the whole journey. You're definitely, mm-hmm. like, towards the end, like, 8th, 9th month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like guessing numbers.
I only have 4 weeks.
Oh, wow. And by the time you all hear this, she'll probably have delivered the young prince.
Mm-hmm.
But, so which aspect of pregnancy, from what you've experienced thus far, would you hold over your son's head when he's misbehaving? This is my random question.
Man, let me think about that. Because I haven't had very much pain, I will say. Man, it's probably going to be these stretch marks. Because I know they're coming. I've been rubbing shea butter. I've been rubbing rose hips oil. That's going to be some stretch marks. And probably the labor experience, because I'm sure that's going to be memorable. I mean, I hope it's painless, but we all know real life.
Right.
So probably that. I was in labor with you, and you're going to get smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at these stretch marks. Look, I can count them, and this is because, yeah, probably that.
This one grew when you...
Right.
Yeah, the lady I just interviewed for last week's episode, she talked about the tiger stripes, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're coming. It's going to happen. But, yeah, that right there. Did you see? I'll show them that Instagram picture you're talking about. Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
That's what I was looking like. I mean, I'm going to get back to it, but...
Girl, she had a body picture. So, you mentioned a few products. What are some more that you found helpful during your pregnancy?
Let's see. So, I've been really big on the skincare thing because I've been feeling dry and itchy and all kinds of things. So... raw shea butter, and I just use the Shea Moisture kind. I use the rose hips oil. I've been using Mederma. I've used bio oil. I kind of went obsessive a little bit, but I think the ones that are most effective are the natural ones, honestly, and I would say the shea butter because I feel like it actually moisturizes and the moisture is retained. Oh, you know what? Another thing was silky custard cream. So somebody I found on Instagram, it's just a cream, but she has, like, vitamin E oil, and it's a thick base, too. So those kinds of things are helpful. And I don't know if it's really effective all the way, but I know it's reassuring for me. It's like a way for me to rub my tummy and connect with the baby. And I just do it all the time now.
Aww.
So, yeah.
That's so awesome. So we're going to kind of switch gears. Something we've talked about outside of this episode was that you're planning to do, like, a blog.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or I think you've started the blog.
I have. Mm-hmm. It's called One Queen Mother, and it's on onequeenmother.com. It's just kind of about being a Black woman who's having a child, because a lot of times I'm not married, and a lot of times we look at the single mother thing as a negative thing. But, I mean, I think about it. My mother was a single mother at one point. A lot of my aunts were. And there's a lot of power that is in being a single mother. So let's explore the beauty of it instead of making it such a negative thing. So that's what my goal is. So it's been, so far it's about my experience with pregnancy. But hopefully it'll be about my experience with bonding with my son and trying to be a positive example for him as a Black woman.
So, but this isn't the first thing you've done. So you have The Limitless Look.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk more about your magazine? And
yeah, so I have a digital makeup magazine, and it kind of highlights makeup artists from all over the world who want to share their perspective and share their art form in whichever is their specialty. So there's beauty makeup. I've done a bridal issue. We've done Halloween and, you know, like costume makeup and special effects. And this next one was going to have feature articles on makeup mommies. So some of my favorite makeup artists who, there's a couple from Atlanta, there's a couple from Chicago. I'm going to be included also. Some other makeup artists who are going to be mommies and just, I mean, just fun perspective. So it's really cool. It's available online at thelimitlesslook.com, and it's free. Just a fun way of expression.
That's awesome. So how did you get out into, how did you determine that you were going to do the magazine?
So you know how we had the Black Hair Sophisticated magazines, and you can go to the beauty shop and say, hey, I want my hair, you know, fried out and laid to the side. You can't really do it. Well, now we can do that because we have Instagram, but when I started this, it was about 2 years ago, and Instagram wasn't as popular with the hashtag with trying to find especially that type of look that you want, or the skin tone, or someone who looks like you. So I just wanted to provide that. So my goal was to have it where makeup artists could say, okay, take a look through here while they're setting up and tell me which kind of look you want to go for. Because I get a lot of ladies
mm-hmm.
who want their makeup done. Like, I don't know. I mean, whatever looks good. And then what I think is natural might not be natural for you. It might be over the top or vice versa. So just so we can get a visual.
That's cool. I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
So true, because we screenshot a lot of our looks.
Right. Like, here, what about her? I mean, and that's awesome. So that's why it's kind of been different, because the progression of Instagram and social media has picked up. But at the time that it was kind of conceptualized, it wasn't as popular.
But I even looked through your older books, and they seem to, first of all, the looks were timeless because they're still in style.
Mm-hmm.
But then I loved the quality of the photos and everything. So that was really nice.
So that's another thing. So similar to what BK Press does and keeping it, you know, supporting other entrepreneurs, that's another thing. I wanted to get permission from the photographers, because there's a lot of independent photographers' work who's featured, and to kind of highlight them too, because being behind the lens is one thing, but your work and your artistry, the editing, the set, you know, all that is something that deserves to be recognized. So
mm-hmm.
try to do that too, and make sure I give credit to the photographers, hairstylists, fashion stylists, you know, wardrobe stylists, whatever.
It's a team.
Yeah, it is.
As people say, it's a
team. Right. It's a hashtag. It's a
this ain't how I woke up. So but so you have these different avenues for creative expression.
Mm-hmm.
And you even talked about how you took the opportunity to start your makeup business after going through your challenges, your personal challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So before you started going a different route than IT or your previous career endeavors, like, what did people say to you to prepare you for entrepreneurship? So again, this is that whole thanks but no thanks. Like, were there things that people shared, like, oh, it's gonna be hard, or oh, it's not worth it, oh, my business failed? What did you hear while taking this new route in your career?
All right, Indianapolis is not the market for makeup.
Mm.
Which, I mean, It is. There's a market for makeup wherever. Everybody wants to be beautiful, so don't just discredit your hometown and your home city and go on to the next big thing. I mean, there is a market. I've heard things like, oh, well, I've had people offer me jobs when I was working at Mac. Like, former classmates come and be like, oh, are you looking for something else? Well, we're hiring. I mean, that's great, and thank you for the opportunity, but I'm good here. I mean, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, in grad school, the class that I connected with the most was our entrepreneurship class.
Oh, wow.
I mean, out of all the things I took, out of all the money I spent, that one class, it was valuable. And we went through, you know, business plans and risk mitigation and trying to plan ahead and project plans and all of that. And I will say that was probably the most valuable part of my graduate experience. I'm sure my parents will be like, oh, okay.
No, I get it. I think grad school personally taught me how to ask better questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you spend $40,000+ to learn how to ask questions.
Right. And learn how to write a business plan. And I could have just had that template. No, I'm just
going. Girl.
No, I mean, yeah. So that entrepreneurship was good because I had a professor who tore my stuff to shreds and was like, this is horrible. I mean, because I'm a writer. So he's like, yeah, I see how the flowers and the trees look. But give me the facts. Like, we don't need all this extra. And that helped me get straight to the point. Nobody on business, you ask straightforward. You kind of have to be fearless, be prepared to hear no. And that's okay. I've gotten a lot of no's. And I think it's good. I mean, it builds character. And I'm kind of fearless. So now I feel like I can ask anything. And if somebody says no, oh, well, I mean, I've heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
On to the next.
You're not the first.
Right.
Oh, that's a hard lesson to learn, though.
Is.
So what was your intention, aside from having a creative outlet, when you started your businesses or your entrepreneurial endeavors?
Fulfillment for myself, because I consider myself a creative, and I don't feel like I would be satisfied. At one point, I was working at a call center, which is perfectly fine if that's what you like to do. I just felt confined. I didn't feel happy. I hated the hours, and I felt just not happy. I was just very unsatisfied with what was going on, or dissatisfied, I should say. So, just fulfillment. Like, I feel fulfilled in creating something new. And I consider myself to be kind of like a random person. So, if I have an idea, I'm like, oh, I'm about to try this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try it. Just like an artist or a painter or a designer, you just go for it. And it brings you, a lot of women who haven't necessarily had children yet, don't realize that being a creative is the same thing. Like, you're birthing something. You put all the nourishment and you water this plant or you plant this seed and you just keep making sure it's fine until it's time to bloom. And it's the same thing with motherhood. So it's the same thing with business and being a creative. Just wait it out and see the fruits of your labor.
That is so true. I was asking my significant other the other night, or just bouncing it off of him, but like I feel like I've invested so much into my website.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first started working on my website, at first it was just a creative outlet. So with that first shoot that we worked on together with the Nature's Bookstore, I guess was the kind of concept that came out of it. It was just a way of showcasing how reading can be enjoyable. Reading pretty much has saved me throughout my childhood, like reading about someone else's experiences and what my life could become has helped me to become who I am today. And so I figured by taking that idea and putting that into that photo shoot, which ended up costing more than I thought it was going to. And then, I had the inspiration of creating clothing to kind of send subliminal messages about paying artists, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so it started off with the first shirt I created, and then when folks suggested that I got make it a group photo shoot, I was like, why would I have them wear anybody else's clothes? So then I designed three other shirts, and I was like, this is getting costly. So in all, the website, though it's cute and though it was only like a $200 hosting fee per year is more than 10 times the amount out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like, in a sense, I don't have children of my own, but it's kind of similar in that you nurture that, you try to feed it good things, And you even have to take moments away to, like, help it to become what it can become. Mm-hmm. That was probably a little ramble there.
No, I mean, it's real. And I'm sure other creatives can relate.
So how have your business ventures exceeded your expectations?
In a lot of ways. So when I started off as a makeup artist, I was just traveling. So I had a little kit that I just filled with makeup. When I was working at MAC, we had a really nice discount. So I would just build my kit every pay period. And I just planned on being a traveling makeup artist. I just come to you. Mm-hmm. And one great thing is I had a friend who was a photographer that helped me with my first shoot for my magazine. And he said, oh, you need a space over here. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll just go to him. I don't really want to make that investment. And after I made the step to do some research, I found out that it could be affordable. I mean, if you just maintain your business. So having a studio space is a big deal to me because I didn't ever imagine that I have a space. And it's not the biggest or it's not the most standalone spot, but it's in here with a lot of other artists.
I fit about six of us in here.
Right. I mean, and when I have wedding parties, we knock them out. We have, like, you know, multiple people in here, and it's fun. Like, that is something that I'm very proud of, the fact that I have a studio.
Yeah.
And the fact that with connecting with other makeup artists with my Limitless Look digital magazine, the people were like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. I was telling you earlier, there's some people from Israel in there that are featured.
That is so
awesome.
There's
people from the UK, all kinds of women and men. And I just think it's cool that people are receptive. So that's rewarding, too.
Yeah. So what do you think, and this is not a question I prepared or anything, but, like, what do you think being an entrepreneur and being a mommy will look like once your son is here?
I hope it looks the same. I just hope I grind a little bit harder. I think I've been a little bit complacent, honestly, when it's just me, like, you know, it's okay. I don't feel like, if I don't feel like going in or booking a certain amount of clients, then it's okay. I'm going to be really passive with it. I haven't really done too much of marketing, but I think with having a son, I'll be more motivated to create a bigger legacy for him. So I want to show him early on that you can be your own boss, and it's okay if you're not, but I want to show him the power that he has. So there's some ideas that I have even for him and branding that I want to do and create. So hopefully we'll be able to do that together, and I can show him his power. And if he decides to take whatever route he's interested in, then he knows that his mother's going to support him and that he can do it, whatever he wants to.
And I remember at one point you were doing workshops. Do you foresee doing that as well?
I would love to. So, honestly, with the workshops, it's whenever I'm asked, I'll do it, or I don't charge a fee or anything. It's just whenever people ask, no, I'm going to charge a fee now with that baby. See, that's what I'm saying.
I'm, like, over here whispering to her, like, no, you're going to charge a fee.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's going to change a bit, and it's going to be good because there's value behind it. But, yeah, I plan to be involved in the community because that's another part of something that's important to me. Like, a lot of the classes I've done have been, like, for high school girls or middle school age children or older women. And I just think it's liberating and fun to do. So I think that'll be a part for sure.
Because I'm all about getting workshops, even if you initiate that workshop.
Mm-hmm.
My last big question of the entire episode, but mainly focusing on entrepreneurship, was what was the hardest lesson that you had to learn in your business journey?
Working with people. And in a service industry, is very challenging. Mm. Some people will be dissatisfied with what you offer because they might be dissatisfied with other aspects of their life. Coming into being an entrepreneur, or even being in a service industry, you've signed up to be a therapist of sorts. You know, like, you go to a hairstylist and naturally there's all that gossip and stuff. Now, I'm not saying we do gossip over here, but I'm saying, sometimes you're the only beam of light that somebody's going to see that day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people are not happy. And it's your job, or at least I think it's my job, to make them feel better about whatever it is going on or whatever I can control while they're in my presence. So a big lesson is you don't get to choose the clients that you serve. They choose you. And it's a pleasure. You should be very grateful. I'm very grateful for every single person who's ever booked with me or considered booking, because it's an honor. So I feel like with that privilege, I owe them, I have a responsibility to fulfill, to meet their expectations and to exceed them if I'm able. So that's something you have to learn. It's not just about the numbers. It's not just about money. It's about delivering, and it's about if you're able to leave an impact on somebody's life. Even if somebody didn't like their full lips before they came in to see you, then make them feel a little bit better about that beauty that they have. Or, you know, they're not confident about a blemish that they have, let them know they're not the only one that's had one. I mean, right. Life goes on, but there's beauty in you in other ways. So it's really, you learn so much, and so many things I didn't expect to be delivering as a makeup artist that I deliver. And that's cool, though. I like it.
So. I find that therapy piece to be quite true for our experience, because I think I was on the verge of, I think I was going through the editing phase by the time we met of my book. And so I was just telling you, like, this book is about to be this, and this, this. And then I published a book, and our next shoots were really just to build the brand behind the company that published the book. So, yeah, that was so crazy. And we know a lot of the same people, so that made it awkward but still liberating.
Right. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
That is so funny. But, okay, so in general, I hope we touched on the topic I had in mind, but it was really just saying thanks but no thanks, or talking about different ways that people offer their advice, but then sometimes you don't need it or don't want to hear it in that moment. I guess I do have another question. So how do you suggest that people respond when someone offers them advice and they're not quite ready to hear it, or is just not true for them?
I think you have to consider the source. Some people know everything and then don't know everything. But they think they know everything, and that's okay. Let them live their life. You have to walk in your own life and your own path. So you just take what you need and don't worry about what you don't. Something that I really want to say is, when it comes to unsolicited advice, period, you just have to walk that walk yourself. So some things you just can't take too much heart to. And I'll be honest, being hormonal and pregnant, I had a list of people who I'm fighting as soon as mom. I was like, I'm fighting her. I don't care. I'm getting smart with her. As soon as I deliver the baby, that's the wrong attitude to have. But that just goes to say, you don't have to take everything to heart, and you don't have to respond. People don't deserve that bad. They don't deserve that type of power over you. So you don't have to respond every time. Here lately, I've been responding every time. And I'm not always proud to say that. But just take what you need, and what you don't, just like anything, it's waste. Just throw it away. Keep it moving.
That's so true. Are there any final thoughts about womanhood, pregnancy, or entrepreneurship you want to leave with the ladies?
I just want to say, anything that you want to be or do, you can be or do. Whether you're birthing a baby or whether you're birthing an idea, you can do it. You just have to have that confidence and have to learn to accept rejection sometimes. Because, again, sometimes you don't want to hear it or you don't want to see it. But you can do it, and just believe in that and give it a shot. We're approaching a new year, new season, and you have to give yourself that opportunity and give yourself the ability to thrive. You can't thrive unless you try. So I say go for it, whatever it is.
So, I mean, this question is obvious, but what's next for you and the Limitless look?
Baby! Baby is my focus, but just to expand more with the baby and expand more with the brand, I plan to continue doing makeup parties. I have some booked for the spring, so when I come back, I'll be refreshed and renewed and ready to hit the ground running.
How long are you taking off?
I honestly don't know. So I have some clients booked really close to my delivery date. And I told them, we'll see how it goes, because I haven't done this before, so I don't know. But I know I have things booked as early as March. And so.
Yes, yes. How do the ladies stay connected with you?
You could follow me on Instagram is the biggest way. The business brand is The Limitless Look, just how it sounds. Or you can go to thelimitlesslook.com. You can follow me personally on Instagram at @tobelimitless, and that's at TOBELIMITLESS.
Sound like a rapper girl.
Right. You know, no limit, no L. Hey. But yeah, you can follow me at TOBELIMITLESS online, Instagram. You can always email me at Candace @thelimitlesslook.com, especially if it's for makeup booking. I'll respond as soon as I can.
Candice, not Candace.
That's right, Candice.
Well, thank you so much, Candace.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. This is fun. I was nervous, but you know, it's really fun. Thank you so much for including me in your idea and all the beautiful work that you're doing and supporting artists and exposure. It's a great, beautiful thing that is very much appreciated.
No problem, no problem. I was hoping that it was as fun as our 5 a.m. wake-up call. Yeah, makeup call.
A little bit more fun since it went as early, but it was fun.
Girl. But, so ladies, before you head out, remember that I like what Candace said as far as, you know, you have to take the path for yourself. So even if people have recommendations and even if it's wise, it's up to you to make the choices that feel best for you. Or also considering if you believe in God or a higher power, having more faith in that than what people may have to say about your experience, because again, you're the person that has to deal with the consequences, not them. And a lot of times they've lived it even when someone told them not to do it. So again, you can follow us on Instagram at ladies_night_podcast. Subscribe to Ladies Night Podcast with Siobhan on iTunes. Please leave a review, a written review. We got a lot of 5 stars so far, but it's nice to hear what you all think of the episodes and just let us know what kind of things you want to talk about. You can also check us out on our website, Siobhan.co, Siobhanne.co, and click on the link for Ladies Night. And then last but not least, feel free to sign up or order a ticket to go to our first Ladies Night Out experience in Indianapolis. We will be having dinner and watching The Black Panther on Saturday, February 17th, 2018. And whether it's Ladies Night In or Ladies Night Out, this is what we're talking about. This is Siobhan, and I'm wishing you a happy weekend. Have fun and be safe. Oh, one more thing. Make good choices.